Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The rules about who has the right of way in the air are not really about who wins. They're about how not to hit each other. And that difference changes how you fly them. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever this finds you. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and you're listening to Traffic Pattern, the show where we take one piece of this beautiful, complicated thing we do and try to leave you a little sharper than we found you. Today, we are going to sit down with a regulation I know stay with me, because this one is not a paperwork rule. This one is the rule that decides what happens in the 2 seconds before a midair. Federal Aviation Regulation 9113, Right-of-Way Rules. Let's walk through this together. Before we do, a quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few gray hairs. aviationsoul.com. Now let's talk about why this rule even exists. Most of the airspace in this country, most of the time, you're separated from other traffic by exactly one thing, your eyeballs out in the practice area on a Saturday morning cross country, tooling around on a clear day. Nobody is keeping you apart from that other airplane. Not a controller, not a computer. You. The regulation that governs that whole arrangement lives in 9113, and it opens with a line that a lot of pilots skip right over, it says. Regardless of whether an operation is conducted under instrument flight rules or visual flight rules, vigilance shall be maintained by each person operating an aircraft so as to see and avoid other aircraft. See and avoid. Each person. Regardless of the rules you're flying under. That's the foundation. Everything else in this reg is just the tiebreaker for when see and avoid gets complicated. So, let's build it up piece by piece. First piece. The very next line after see and avoid says that when a rule gives another aircraft the right of way, you have to give way and you may not pass over, under, or ahead of it unless you're well clear. Read that again in your head. Give way, stay well clear, do not cut across the nose of the airplane that has the right of way just because you technically slid behind him. Well clear is the standard, and well clear is bigger than you think when you're both doing 90, 100, 120 knots at each other. Here's the part that surprises students. The airplane that has the right of way is not off the hook. See and avoid applies to everybody. If you have the right of way and you watch another airplane blunder straight into you and you do nothing because, quote, it was my right of way, you are not a hero. You are a statistic with a good argument. The red gives you priority. It does not give you permission to stop flying the airplane. Okay, second piece, in distress. This one is short and it is absolute. An aircraft in distress has the right of way over all other air traffic. Somebody declares an emergency, somebody is coming down with a dead engine, somebody is on fire, they own the airspace and the runway and whatever else they need. Everybody else gets out of the way. Simple. Human. Move. Now we get to the meat, the part that shows up on your check ride. The part the examiner is looking for you to actually know, not just wave at. Converging. Picture two airplanes at the same altitude, coming together from an angle, not head-on, not one chasing the other, just converging, like two cars approaching an intersection with no stop sign. Who yields? The rule is the aircraft to the other's right has the right of way.
Let me make that stick. If another airplane is off to your right, converging with you, he wins. You give way. If the traffic is off to your left, you have the right of way. But see and avoid, you keep watching him anyway. Right side wins. That's the whole thing. The airplane on the right has the right of way, same basic instinct as a four-way stop, and it's worth burning into your reflexes because when two airplanes converge, you do not have time to look it up. But converging has a second layer, and this is where it gets good. When the two aircraft converging are of different categories, the rule flips to a pecking order. It's not about who's on the right anymore, it's about who is least able to get out of the way, and once you see it that way, the whole list makes sense. Here's the order from most right-of-way to least. A balloon has the right-of-way over everything. Think about it. A balloon goes where the wind goes. It cannot maneuver to save itself, so everyone yields to the balloon. Next, a glider. A glider has the right-of-way over everything except a balloon. A glider has no engine. Its options are limited, and its altitude is precious, so it beats everybody below it on the list. Next, an airship. A blimp, a dirigible,
slow, ponderous, hard to move around quickly. And then at the bottom of the priority list, we have the airplane and the rotorcraft and the powered lift. That's us, the engine-driven, maneuverable machines. We have the least right-of-way in that hierarchy, and it is precisely because we have the most ability to get out of everyone else's way. There's a beautiful logic to it. The right-of-way flows to whoever has the fewest options. The balloon can't dodge, so we dodge for it. The glider can't climb, so we give it room. If you ever blank on the order, don't memorize a list. Ask yourself, who here is least able to maneuver? That airplane goes first. That reasoning will get you the right answer under pressure every single time, and it's the reasoning the examiner actually wants to hear. Now, one important exception tucked in there, an aircraft towing or refueling other aircraft has the right of way over all other engine-driven aircraft. A tow plane dragging a glider up on a rope is not exactly nimble, and it's got somebody tied to its tail. Give it room. Let me pause here, because I want to be honest with you about something. Learning to fly is hard, it is expensive. And a reg like this can feel like just one more thing to cram before a knowledge test, one more list to spit back and forget. I get it, but this is not trivia. Every one of these lines was written because somebody somewhere learned it the worst possible way. When you read 9113, you're reading a list of collisions that already happened. That's what a regulation like this really is. It's a memorial you can fly by, so let's make it useful. Let's do the two situations that will actually try to kill you. Head on, two airplanes approaching each other more or less nose to nose, roughly the same altitude. This is one of the most dangerous geometries in aviation, because the closure rate is enormous and, cruelly, an airplane pointed straight at you barely moves in your windscreen. It sits there, it doesn't drift across the glass the way crossing traffic does, it just sits in one spot and grows. That's the one that gets people, no relative motion, right up until it's very big and very close. The rule for head-on is clean, and it is symmetric. Each aircraft shall alter course to the right. Both of you, nobody has the right of way in a head-on. You both turn right, you turn right. Him, turn right, and now you slide past each other, left wingtip to left wingtip with room to spare. Say it out loud, sir, your hands remember. Head-on, turn right, not left, right. Because if you go one way and he guesses the other, you've just closed the gap you were trying to open. The rule works because everyone does the same thing. Turn right, second killer, overtaking. You are the faster airplane, coming up behind a slower one. Maybe you're in a Bonanza running down a Cessna 172 out on the airway, the airplane being overtaken. The slower one in front has the right of way. It gets to keep doing what it's doing. You, the overtaking aircraft, have to alter course to the right to pass, to the right. You go around him on the right side, and you stay well clear while you do it. Why the right again? Because the airplane in front can't see you. He's got a fuselage and a tail and a whole airplane between his eyeballs and you. He does not know you're there. So the entire burden falls on you, the one who can see the situation, to go around, predictably, on the right, with room. Overtaking. Pass on the right. Now let's bring it all down to where most collisions actually happen. The traffic pattern. Because here's a special rule, and it catches people. When you're approaching an airport to land, aircraft at a lower altitude have the right of way, the airplane below you, closer to the ground, closer to committing to that runway, has the right of way over you. But, and the reg says this, in the very same breath, you cannot use that rule to cut somebody off. It specifically says a pilot shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of another aircraft that is on final approach or to overtake that aircraft. So, you can't dive down below the guy on downwind, claim you're lower, and squeeze onto the runway ahead of him. That's not right of way. That's just rude, and it's dangerous, and it's exactly the kind of move that turns a base to final into a headline. Think about a real Saturday. Busy non-towered field, you're on downwind. There's an airplane on a long straight-in final, low already committed. There's a helicopter doing its thing, and somebody just called a 2-mile 45 entry. 9113 is the referee for all of it. Lower airplane on final gets the runway. You don't cut in. Everybody's still using see and avoid, still talking on the radio, still giving way to whoever has the fewest options. The regulation gives you the structure. It does not give you permission to stop thinking. Let me give you the practical takeaways, the stuff to actually carry into your next flight. 1. See and avoid is the rule. Everything else is just the tiebreaker. Keep your eyes outside in cruise, deliberately move your scan, near to far, side to side, and look for the airplane that isn't moving in your windscreen, because that's the one on a collision course. 2. Converging right side winds, traffic off your right, you give way, different categories, whoever can maneuver least goes first. Balloon, glider, airship, then us. 3. Head on, everybody turns right, say it before you ever need it. 4. Overtaking, you pass on the right, well clear, because he can't see you. 5. In the pattern, lower airplane has the right of way and you never, ever cut in on somebody who's already on final. And one more that isn't a numbered rule but is maybe the most important. Having the right of way has never bent a single piece of aluminum back into shape. If it's close, if it's ambiguous, if your gut is tightening up, you give way, you turn right, you go around. You can sort out who is technically correct later on the ground over coffee, both of you still breathing. Be the pilot who yielded and lived, not the one who was right and didn't, if you want to read it yourself, and you should. It's Federal Aviation Regulation 91 of 13, and the see and avoid language echoes right through the Airman Certification Standards under collision avoidance. My thanks to the FAA, whose plain words on this one are worth reading straight from the source. You'll find a link and the rest of today's notes over at radiohanger.com. That's the reg, not paperwork. A list of ways we've learned to share the sky without touching. Keep your eyes outside, turn right when in doubt, and I'll see you back here in the pattern.